Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us. Busy show, busy day as always. And let's take a look at the show lineup for today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And very busy recruiting-wise, and that should come as no surprise because in addition to some visits taking place and getting ready for a live period for high school stuff this weekend, then the July live periods as well. As of midnight last night, college coaches could contact sophomores, prospects in high school. And so Indiana and many programs taking advantage of that midnight hour to fire out some text and set up some phone calls and do things of that nature. So we'll update you on what we've heard since early this morning when the IU staff and some of the personnel hard at it getting the recruiting, maybe you could say, back underway in somewhat of a normal situation this offseason. Lots of recruiting news in our headlines today. We'll catch a couple football topics as well. Then later in the program on Tuesdays, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins the columnist for the Star, and we'll talk a number of subjects. Greg was at the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. He has some thoughts to share from that. We'll talk about the recruiting madness that is beginning to happen with all the stuff going on and how it does signal, at least in hoops and college football, a somewhat sign of normalcy, and that coming up with Greg later in the hour today and more when he's with us today. Always a fun segment. Never quite know what Greg's going to say, what he's going to do, what his opinion might be, and he'll join us in segment two coming up a little bit later today. Also later in the program on Tuesdays, we have Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us for the latest in IU basketball. We'll touch on more of the recruiting, how the visits are going or went for Filipowski and others in recent days that have been on the campus in Bloomington, and a look at some of the names that Indiana has reached out to in the last 12 hours or so since the contact period opened for some of the younger prospects in the country as well. We'll get into some football stuff with Mike when he joins us later in the hour today as well. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday, June 10th. We are smack dab in the middle of the month of June, headed into a very busy time in the offseason as far as basketball and recruiting goes. And we'll start our segment today, our Zaxby's headlines, with a lot of recruiting news. First, a local note. Jalen Fairman, a Jeffersonville graduate just recently in the class of 2021. He received an offer earlier in the week, over the weekend actually, and yesterday, last night, committed to Bellarmine. So I think a great fit for the local guard. He's going to navigate across the waters and play for Scotty Davenport at Bellarmine, another good local pickup. And anytime you see Southern Indiana guys specifically, but Coach Davenport's done a good job in Louisville, obviously, as well, with all of his connections there over the years. But some of the best Bellarmine teams, including the national championship team, have been flooded with players from Southern Indiana from our local area. So you hope that Jalen Fairman, with his great point guard abilities and what he showed at Jeffersonville for the second half of his senior year, can head across the water and have success at the level others from our area have done at Bellarmine. Of course, the only difference now is Bellarmine, a Division I program, so entering a whole new conference, a whole new level of competition. But could Fairman maybe be on one of the teams once Bellarmine gets through the exploratory or the trial period, whatever the official wording is? Could he maybe be on one of the Coach Davenport teams that makes the NCAA tournament for the first time? He's got that ability, and I think a really good late pickup for Fairman. Of course, Jalen played early in his career at Jeffersonville. Then he transferred for his junior season at Jefferson Town over in Louisville, but came back maybe after the season had began. He had to sit out some games, get some practices in before he was eligible to play for the Red Devils in his senior campaign. And it seemed like when Jalen got there, he was kind of the straw that stirred the drink for Coach Grantz's team, really helped with distributing the basketball, getting the Red Devils in the offense that they needed to be in. And, of course, Will Lovings Watts and Kobe Studemeyer and Brandon Razor Moore, really some talented players, and Fairman was able to juggle all that with those guys and kind of be the floor leader in many regards. So he had a great year a season ago this past year for Jeff, and look forward to following him in college. Congratulations to Jalen Fairman, who will play college hoops across the river at Bellarmine. Also, last night, a number of schools, including Indiana, reaching out to some of the best sophomores in the country once the clock struck midnight and opened that contact period up. Indiana, Michigan, Pittsburgh, George Washington, Georgia, Ohio State, Memphis, and South Carolina all had conversations of some sort with top 50 sophomore Jalen Hooks last night, according to Stock Risers. And Hooks is really an in-state player, I think, in that 2023 class to pay a lot of attention to. He's starting to get some interest this spring as the travel ball, the grassroots hoops, has got back to some normalcy. And it sounds like as of last night, when the contact period opened, he's one of the in-state players really with a lot of buzz as far as the number of schools that have reached out to him. So Jalen Hooks from Indianapolis, definitely a player to pay attention to. And the last week or so since Summer League basketball has been going on at the high school level, we've probably had more mentions of Caleb Glenn over at Male High School in Louisville than ever before. In fact, his coach Tim Hayworth was on the program last week talking about Caleb's recruitment, talking about IU, talking about summer basketball going against some of the Southern Indiana teams here the last few weeks. But Caleb Glenn has also been a very busy young man. He was up late last night into this morning hearing from a lot of schools. He told the Stock Risers website he's heard from Arkansas, Memphis, Illinois, Ohio State, Wake Forest, Indiana, of course, still involved with him and have been really since Archie Miller was the head coach. And last night he also was offered by Arizona State, the latest offer that he has received, to West Virginia, Louisville, now Arizona State, maybe some other offers as well. But he's definitely a player on the rise locally and a guy that he seems to like Indiana. There's been rumors he may try to set up some sort of visit there at some point this summer. I haven't seen a date or any confirmation of that. But locally, one of the great players this summer that as far as taking his game to a whole nother level is Caleb Glenn. I see also an offer for him just recently last night from Wake Forest that came after the midnight hour as well. So Caleb Glenn, he'll be on display again tonight at the Kentuckiana Summer League games at New Albany. I'll give you the schedule there in just a few moments. But he is he's a guy locally that is getting a lot of interest, and Indiana continues to recruit him very closely as well. Of course, today on campus in Bloomington, IU finishing up some big visits with seniors to be Justin Taylor and Kyle Filipowski, who are both top 60 level recruits in the country. So you can bet that those guys and the IU staff, not just the assistant coaches and Coach Woodson, but the support staff as well, been very, very busy, because really these are the first official visits of the Mike Woodson time, and really the first official visits over the last few weeks since things opened back up in all of college basketball. It's kind of a new thing. You go from Zoom meetings and you can't wine and dine over Zoom, but trying to communicate well over Zoom and let them know what you're about, showcase your facilities. Lots of creativity it's taken for college coaches in all sports to get through the recruiting process over the last year or so. But normalcy with official visits, and IU with two really important players on campus as those 48-hour official visits come to a close a little bit later today. And I mentioned this on the show yesterday, a scheduling note for the Hoosiers for next season. Word got out yesterday that Indiana is going to host Northern Kentucky and Coach Darren Horn in a non-conference game on December 22nd at Assembly Hall. So just to kind of remind you of what we know about things, the Gavitt tip-off games, IU likely will play in that and play against a Big East opponent. The Big Ten ACC Challenge on the rotation for that. It should be a home game for Indiana this season. The Crossroads Classic, we spoke about this some yesterday with Zach Osterman of the Indy Star. Could this be the last year for the big in-state event bringing some of the biggest college teams in our state together? Indiana in it this year. They'll play December 18th against Notre Dame. That game will be played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Of course, now Northern Kentucky set for December 22nd at Assembly Hall. And we know the Big Ten opponents, the home and away opponents, Purdue twice, Maryland twice, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, Penn State, and Wisconsin all will be home and away games that the Hoosiers see twice this season. Home-only games, Illinois, Michigan, Rutgers. Away-only games, Iowa, Michigan State, and Northwestern. Just kind of a reminder of where things are at in the schedule. And don't forget, coming up in August, basically 2 months from now, the Hoosier team will be in the Bahamas, and they'll take on BC Mega from Serbia in two exhibition games, one on August 13th and one on August 15th. So that will give us a really early look at the Hoosiers for next year and be a real preview for what to expect in year number one for this Coach Woodson coach team as well. Also, a football note from yesterday, Tom Allen and the IU Athletics Strategic Communications folks have been honored by the Football Writers Association of America for their, quote, excellence and accessibility during the 2020 season. Of course, Coach Allen was also honored as the 2020 Super 11 Coach of the Year by the same association. And really, to me, this is no surprise. I can't say that I'm well in tune with other Division I college football programs and how they communicate with their media, but being on the list for IU football and basketball, knowing the amount of availabilities that Tom Allen has with media as a group, as small groups, in the season, before games, after games, obviously you expect those things. But even into the offseason as well, he's made himself available. Coach Allen is often on national media, whether it be a podcast or a national radio show, and even the local guys, the little Hoosier Report down here in southern Indiana. When we make the request, if he can do it, Coach Allen often will take time out to join the program. And that's not just the case with us, but many people that want to have him on or interview him, whether it be a newspaper, radio station. So when I saw this release from Indiana, obviously it's an opportunity to brag on yourself, which is what the IU football program is doing with this. But clearly, Tom Allen communicating well, his staff communicating well with the media. And I guess it's probably easy to communicate well when you're having some success, you're doing things at the program hasn't done for a long time, or in some cases maybe has never done. People don't just want to talk with you. You probably want to talk with people about it as well, because basically it's an ongoing recruiting pitch for Tom Allen and his football program also. So kudos to them. And again, it's easy to cover IU football with the great people in the IU athletics department that constantly get out information and make people, players, others available for interviews as well. And that's going to be especially good heading into this season, because, boy, there's a lot of excitement about this IU football program as well. One other football note, Jacoby Spells. He is from Plantation American Heritage in Florida. He's planning to announce his commitment on July 4th, the holiday. He has got a number of schools involved, including Indiana, one of the schools that he is considering. He is a big, big name out there, a cornerback still available, so we'll follow his recruitment as well from the football side of things. And again, as we talk about basketball recruiting and all the things that are happening with visits and contact periods and the live periods that are coming up and how important it's going to be on the hoop side to follow Mike Woodson and his staff and who are the priorities for this offseason and just how they handle their business recruiting. It's going to be so fun to watch in the coming weeks. Things are going hectic as well at a very frantic pace for IU football. There have been camps in the South, camps in the state that the Coach Allen and his staff are at. This is obviously a very busy time for them, as you expect the offseason to be, especially coming out of a pandemic when things that haven't happened now for a year or longer are starting to happen again. There's a lot of catch-up, a lot of makeup, in addition to the normal off-season things that happen, which, of course, first and foremost is workouts and practices and instruction with your own team. There's no question. That's obviously at the very top of the list. So very busy time right now with recruiting, and we'll continue to keep you posted on things both from a basketball and football perspective as well. I know a lot of people interested in summer league games. This is the final week. One of the last 2 days that games will be played here on the southern Indiana side of the river in the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. Games tonight at New Albany High School begin at 2:30. So it's an afternoon deal. North Harrison takes on Manuel. Southwestern takes on North Harrison. Manuel takes on Madison. New Albany will play at 5:30. They'll take on Charlestown. Jennings County against Southwestern later in the evening. Charlestown against Jennings County later in the evening. The nightcap at New Albany from a varsity perspective. New Albany will take on Louisville Southern this afternoon, this evening at 8:30 as well. Hazelwood will host games. The Hazelwood Middle School right there by New Albany. Those games begin at 3:30. Christian Academy of Indiana will be there. Switzerland County, Borden will be there. Rock Creek, Madison also has a game over at Hazelwood as well. And then at Scribner tonight, Ballard and Seymour play to open the day there at 4:30. Mail takes on Seymour also later in the evening as well, and many other games. And that just is some of the varsity opponents. There's JV, freshman, even middle school games taking place tonight at Clarksville Middle School. So this thing, when it's all said and done, 300 or so games in, I think, 16 dates, something like that, 17 dates. So it's been a very, very hectic month. And, again, this is the final week. Admission is $2. Your stamp gets you in all the locations. Games continue Wednesday night over at Butler in Louisville. And then, again, one more night Thursday at New Albany, Hazelwood, and Scribner Schools in the city of New Albany. So lots of fun. Summer basketball, giving you a very early look at what to expect for the next high school basketball season. I took some grief last week for mentioning that Jeffersonville would be my favorite at this point, based on what I've seen from Razor Moore, Loving's Watts, the improvement from Kobe Studemeyer as well, as the favorite to win the 4A sectional and probably the Hoosier Hills Conference as well. But another thought today, the Hoosier Hills Conference is going to be really solid next season. Jeff is going to be very good. Floyd Central should be at the top of the conference as well. Jennings County is big. They should be solid and have a chance to compete. New Albany, despite losing Caden Stanton, when they get healthy, when they get everybody there that's missing for baseball, missing for injuries, the Bulldogs are going to be competitive. Seymour is going to be better than what they have as well. Bedford should be solid. So you look at the conference from top to bottom, the Hoosier Hills should be really good again. And the fun thing is, when summer league ends next week, we'll start talking with some of the coaches. We like to get summer updates from our high school football and basketball coaches locally. So as we get into a slower period, for the most part, I'll have on some of those coaches in the offseason as well. That's a look at our headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. He's always with us Tuesdays. Greg's a columnist for the Star. And still ahead as well, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will talk IU basketball, recruiting, and a little football as well. Plenty still ahead. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday edition of the show. Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indy Star, with us here, as always, on this Tuesday show. Greg, we missed you on vacation last week. Someone told me, Matt, we love the show, we listen every day, but that second segment last week was a lot more boring, without Greg's presence on the show. So glad you're back with us this week, and you spent some time this weekend, I think even while you were on vacation, still technically away from your job at the Star, following the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, so you could write about that as well. And I know you have lots of observations from the Indiana boys' sweep of Kentucky, which was no surprise.
Yeah, I went to one game, the game in Indiana. It was actually played at Southport Fieldhouse, which is about 3 miles from where I live. But that wasn't the reason I went. I am on vacation, or I was, and I'm a big believer when I'm off, I need to be off. I kind of grind pretty hard. Anyway, you know, my brain issues and whatnot. So when I'm off, I got to be off. And I was going to be off. I wouldn't any other year, barring something strange happening in the future, any other year, I'm going to be off. I would have skipped this game too, but Luke Brown was playing. And I don't know if this sounds like a fanboy. I think it's a lot more than that. You know, I know the family. I like the family. I like Luke a lot. We've talked about, you know, OCD and things we have in common. So I care about him. And he's fun. I mean, he's fun. So anyway, I went to the game. I wanted to see how Luke Brown looks against great competition. And then while I'm there, yes, I want to see about 12 other guys that I've, for the most part, only read about. Caleb Burst, Trey Kaufman Wren, a bunch of guys I'd only read about. I want to see them. And, you know, your first impression is always so powerful and oftentimes wrong. But my first impression of a bunch of those guys was, I mean, this state of Indiana class is, I've seen a bunch of them. I've seen seven of these games, and this is the best. This is the best, deepest Indiana team I've ever seen in my 7 years.
Greg, I know we've discussed this multiple times. When Luke made his college commitment to Stetson, when Luke and his Blackford team came down to New Albany to play a showcase game over the holidays, and probably other times as well. But as you watch him in the Indiana All-Star Series, playing with people that could be future pros like Caleb Furst and Trey Kaufman Wren, playing against solid competition, we'll say, from Kentucky, I still don't understand, and I think a lot of listeners agree, why he's not playing at the very least at a mid-major D1 program in our state, and maybe even more so why he's not at a Butler or at an IU or at a Purdue.
Yeah, I say this knowing full well that college recruiters, scouts, like I don't pretend to be. You know, a lot of guys when it comes to NFL draft season, if you listen to radio shows, you listen to guests, it's sports writers like me that kind of fancy themselves as draft nicks. And they analyze players they've watched on film like they really know what they're watching. And they know a little bit, but they don't know like the GMs know, and don't ever forget that. And that's how I am with watching basketball. I think I know it fairly well, but I don't know it like Matt Painter and LaValle Jordan. And I'm not an idiot. I realize that. However, they're not always right. You know, those guys, the NBA is full of guys that played at small schools where people just – I mean, Steph Curry, you know, case in point. They're not always right. Steph Curry – the only Division I scholarship he had, a high major, was Virginia Tech, only because his dad played there. It was like a pity offer. Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, couldn't get an offer for a legit major power. So, I'm not saying Luke Brown's Steph Curry, but he's special. He's special in a way that I've not seen. And not just because he's fun, but he is, but he's so smart, and he reads the game so well, and he passes. Like, he's the fourth highest scorer in state history. And led the state in scoring as a freshman, sophomore, junior, and would have led the state in scoring as a senior if he'd wanted to. We're talking about one of the greatest scorers ever in our state, and yet he passes the ball, and you've seen it. His ball handling he's every bit as good as that. Like he's unbelievable. The things it's not just like he can make a pass and is accurate. I mean, he sees things no one sees. So yeah, and I watched him play in this game, and I watched him. When it was winning time, when Kentucky was giving Indiana a little battle, and the coach of the Indiana coach, Carmel coach, Osborne, when it was winning time, he put his best five on the floor, and Luke's on the floor. He's got D1 guys. He's got Notre Dame signees, Butler signees on the bench because they're not as good as Luke Brown. And so I don't understand it. I don't understand it. When he goes to Stetson and you know, leads Stetson to the second week in the tournament 1 year, and when he has a Steph Curry moment, you know, remember this. I told you so.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. A couple other observations that you tweeted and ultimately wrote about. Caleb Furst, Mr. Basketball, he had a solid weekend, as you would expect. The player wearing the Hoosier jersey, the Indiana jersey, I should say, wearing the number one to do. You've got a read on him, and I think have had now for a while, that Caleb Furst not only has a chance to have a big impact at Purdue pretty soon, but also he's got professional abilities, maybe the NBA.
Oh, he's a stretch four in the NBA for sure. He's, or maybe by that point he's a center. You know, maybe that's what way it is. You know, he looks every bit of 6'10", and I only saw him shoot threes in warmups. They looked fine. Now, you know, a warm-up three is, I realize, not everything, but either you have a stroke or you don't. He's got a good stroke. He's got skill that I was not expecting to see. Again, this is my first look at Caleb Furst. I'd heard he was a skilled 6'10" center. So to me, that means is his back is to the basket. And if he's double-teamed, he can pass it out to the wing. To me, that's what a skilled center usually means when people write that. It doesn't mean this. To me, it doesn't mean grabbing a defensive rebound and then dribbling 70 feet and passing the ball to somebody. Or better than that, because that's his choice. Better than that, someone else grabs a defensive rebound and passes to him to start the fast break. You know, that's unusual. And, again, this isn't happening in a high school game. This is happening in an all-star game where everybody on the court is going to be in college someday, and he's the guy leading the break at times. And I'm not saying he's Luka Doncic. He's not that. But he's just not what I expected. And furthermore, neither is Trey Kaufman-Wren. Now, granted, he's dealing with, from what I understand, some ankle and some knee stuff. So I don't think he's as, whatever his explosive level is, I didn't see that. And then he broke a bone in his finger late in the first half and didn't play anymore. But he played 13 minutes, as I recall, had 10 points and 6 boards, and was far and away the strongest player on the court. I wasn't expecting that. You know, when I hear about a kid and he commits somewhere and I know his body dimensions and I see his stats, in my head I'm thinking, okay, you sound like this guy. And Trey Kaufman-Wren has sounded to me, since the day I heard about him, he sounds to me like Vince Edwards, who went to Purdue and about the same size and sounds like the same skill set. Well, they're not the same at all. Vince Edwards is an NBA athlete, jumping jack, you know, can dunk over everybody. Unless Kaufman-Wren's knee and ankle issues are really, really wearing him down, he's not that kind of athlete, but he's super skilled and he's so strong. That's where he's got, you know, Vince Edwards has the explosion over Kaufman-Wren. But Kaufman-Wren is so strong. His legs are so, I mean, you look out there on the court, and even like Caleb Furse is 6'10", 240, and will be a pro someday. He still looks like a high school kid going to college. Most of them do. Trey Kaufman-Wren looks like a pro right now, and I don't know that he's got pro potential because the explosion, I just don't know. But body-wise, he's a grown man, and he just was beating people up with that body of his. He's going to do it at Purdue, too.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, obviously, we're an IU-focused program, and we talk Southern Indiana sports as well, but with First Mr. Basketball and local product Kaufman-Wren heading to Purdue next season, we know the Boilermakers, with who they have coming back, take some of the freshmen out, are going to be strong in the Big Ten Conference and obviously very formidable when they meet Indiana twice next season. But with what you know about the Purdue lineup, the returners for next season, and what you saw this weekend, I know Trey had a finger issue, as you mentioned, that really seemed to reduce his playing time in that Saturday game especially. But with what you know about Purdue, what type of role could these two freshmen have next year? Could they see the floor pretty often for Coach Painter's team?
For sure. For sure. You know, the problem for them, good problem, everybody likes it, but Purdue's got two just ridiculous centers right now. Trevion Williams, who I don't think is withdrawn from the NBA draft yet. Do you know about that?
No.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he entered the draft, his name's in there, but he's going to come back, I'm almost positive. Zach Edey's 7'9", he's coming back. They've got two centers that are, you know, those two guys out of the five positions, I dare say that Purdue had the most productive center position in college basketball last year. Dead serious. I mean, those two guys averaged about 30 and 18 and shot 90% from the field. And just, you know, if Purdue ever lost, it wasn't because their big men weren't the best on the court. So, but Kaufman, after seeing him, first, I can see him playing with either of those guys. He'll be a four. He'll get on the court with them. Because if he couldn't do that, he wouldn't play. But he'll get on the court with them. And then Trey Kaufman-Wren might be a three. You know, he'll probably be a three and a four. So I see roles for both of them. I see a bigger role for first because Purdue is so loaded on the wing too. But the thing is, as I said, Kaufman-Wren, he's going to kill people in a good way. I mean, he's just so strong. And I don't know how it's going to work out. All I know is they've got – that is the deepest – that's about the deepest roster I've ever seen, and I mean that. I say a lot of things about he's the most I've ever seen. This. I don't know that I've seen a college basketball roster where I know the 12th man could start for almost every team in the country. And Purdue's going to have that next year. Whoever their 12th man is, he could start for almost anybody. But he'll be the 12th man at Purdue because they're just too damn deep. It's a pretty good problem to have. I know this is an IU centric program, and I love that. And this is a topic, an IU topic. What happened this weekend, I think, is that I sent a picture of the both rosters from the scorebook program, and it shows, you know, where these guys are in high school and what they're going to college, and it is such a jarring thing to look at Kentucky. Kentucky's a Mr. Basketball, whatever his name is. He's going to where's he going?
Kentucky's Mr. Basketball. My mind has slipped here. I just looked at the roster.
He's going to a small school in Kentucky. I forget.
Moorhead State? No, I'm not sure.
No, I've got the damn thing. Anyway, what's interesting about that is Kentucky's Mr. Basketball, and I've got the program right here, and I'm so sorry this is not great radio. I'm sorry. Ben Johnson going to Bellarmine.
Yeah, Bellarmine.
Okay.
Yep.
Bellarmine. Okay, Ben Johnson's going to Bellarmine, and he's Mr. Basketball. Well, the best player that Kyle, our Kyle Nunnerup, he thinks the best player that didn't make the Indiana team and wasn't shortchanged. I mean, they had 14 great players, and number 15 was probably a guy named Kurt Hopf from Bar Reef.
Sure, yeah.
Kurt Hopf's going to Bellarmine, too.
Yep.
Yeah, like the best player that didn't make IU's Indiana's roster is going to Bellarmine. Kentucky's Mr. Basketball is going to Bellarmine. Like, let's not talk about which school, which state is a basketball state. We can talk about college basketball, which programs are better, and we get it. Kentucky, Louisville, I get it. But if we're talking about producing players, I'll say it again. Kentucky's Mr. Basketball is going to Bellarmine. The best player who didn't even make Indiana's roster is going to Bellarmine. And this is kind of typical. This is rather jarring, but every year the rosters look like this. The best IU players are going, the best Indiana players are going to Big Ten schools. And Kentucky might have a guy, but they, most of them are going to places like Bellarmine or Northern Kentucky or something like that. So it's rather remarkable. But when I sent that photo out with all these players going to all these great schools, Indiana fans jumped on it. Like, not one kid's going to IU, not one of these. And no wonder Archie failed and he couldn't recruit the state. And that's complete revisionist history, because we know that Archie Miller's problem wasn't that he couldn't recruit the state. You know, Romeo and Tennessee, and I mean, the list goes on and on. He recruited the state, just maybe because he was a lame duck, or I don't know, he didn't do a good job with this class. There's no debating that. But it's very interesting that the deepest class the state's had since I've been here, and not one of them's going to IU. Mike Woodson will fix that. We'll change that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Final thoughts. I've got one football topic and then one other thing I want to get to, but final thoughts on the Kentucky-Indiana series. We have this debate every year. Kyle Nunnerup, Chad Gilbert, you and I have discussed it as well. You got a chance to see the Saturday games up close and personal. I know it's hard to judge things because still in a pandemic, and crowds may not be what they would have been or could have been because of that, but this series has slipped some from a fan interest standpoint, especially on the Kentucky side of things, and it's definitely slipped, and I know you pointed this out. I was following some of your tweets Saturday night during the game. It's definitely slipped from a competitive standpoint. There's no question about that either. But your thoughts on this historical series as it moves into a more modern era?
Yeah, you know, every year the question is, should they continue it? And from the Kentucky side, when I heard, I was sitting next to Nunnerup at the game, and I asked him how many were at the game, you know, the previous night in Kentucky, and he said something like 600. And for a minute, I thought 600,000. Then I realized, well, that's stupid. But 600 alone, that's stupid. Like 600. But then again, this series has become, and don't take this the wrong way, Kentucky, but this is the Globetrotters and the Generals. You know which one you are, Kentucky. I mean, they're not competitive. The games might have been close-ish. But again, I repeat, Kentucky's Mr. Basketball is going to Bellarmine. And Indiana's worst. Anyway, it's just ridiculous. And it happens every year. And if fans don't go, it's a thing for the fans. If fans don't go, then play it once a year in our state. You know, we still like it. Of course, the Globetrotters always win. We like it here, and we'll support it here. And if Kentucky, you don't want to watch, I don't blame you. You're going to get your ass kicked. But let's keep playing the game. It's too special to get rid of, because we've had 3 or 4 years in a row, and maybe some more than that. I don't know, but where it's not very competitive, but it's still a special moment. All the kids want to play it. It's a special thing to wear that number one jersey for both states and keep it going. But if Kentucky fans don't care to see it, then let's play it twice up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, IU football and Tom Allen, I know this is a subject we like talking about as well, received a real honor from the Football Writers Association that for outstanding communication and for outstanding openness with their program. And I mentioned this in our headlines today. I don't have the breadth of knowledge that you do. I've not been across the country, covered other teams. I get the stuff from Indiana. I go to some of the Zoom press conferences and some games, not all. But Indiana football does communicate well. And Tom Allen obviously communicates extremely well. And why not? When things are going extremely well, the program is accomplishing things that maybe it's never done before or hadn't done for a long time, you want to get out and give your pitch and help recruiting and brag on your staff and your players. But Indiana with a nice honor. I know people like you and I appreciate the openness of that program.
Yeah, and it's one thing to be wide open when you're not winning and you're trying to get attention. And so, yeah, you'll kiss every baby you have to kiss because you're trying to, you know, get your name out there. But it's another thing when you're in the middle of a top 10 season and you have one coming up and you're still doing the same stuff you're doing before. And I don't mean this is a slight against Coach K, because I understand the pressures he was under. But before he made Duke a monster in 91, when he was just trying to build that thing up, he was the most accommodating coach in basketball almost. People loved Coach K. It was a long time ago. But then they won titles in 91-92, and he shut it down. He didn't talk to anybody anymore. He got too busy, and I get it. But Tom Allen hasn't done that yet, and he might have to tweak it a little bit. He's so open. He's still, you know, a high school coach from his roots. Those are his roots. So he, you know, great access. You can come in the locker room if you want. You can come to my house if you want to have breakfast. I mean, he's just amazing that way. And that might change a little bit, but he's genuine. The thing about Tom Allen is he's genuine. You never have to wonder, you know, is he just recruiting right now? Is that all? Is this just an infomercial? And it sometimes it sounds like an infomercial when TVs are talking about IU when they're playing games, but it's all real. It's as sincere as it can be. This honor is great for him, but it's also means something for Jeff Keg, is the IUS Sports Information Director of football. And Jeff's great. I mean, he's tremendous. And it's great. You know, his name isn't going to get on the recipient list, I guess, but it ought to be because he's right there too.
Yeah, no question. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Greg, before we let you go, you always give us some great insight to what's ahead as far as your columns, things you're working on, interesting topics, and you share those ideas with us. And I know you've got something coming out in Sunday's print edition of the Star about the first woman to coach in major college football history, and it actually happened in Bloomington back in 1974.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago, the first female coach got a job at Colgate or something like that. It's in the story, and there's been several females working in the NFL and whatnot. It's cool stuff. What I didn't realize until working on that Anitra House story. Anitra House was Mike Woodson's first hire. She was his tutor back at IU in the 70s, and Mike Woodson hired Anitra House, made her the assistant to the coach, and she's going to just handle the, you know, administration stuff. Well, researching that story, I stumbled across, she advised Buzz Kerpius, a football coach on Lee Corso's staff in the 70s. That's how she got her start in IU sports. And I'm like, Buzz Kerpius, that's cool. So I looked up Buzz Kerpius' name, just want to make sure I spell it right. And turns out Buzz Kerpius was a woman and was on Lee Corso's staff as a, quote, assistant football coach. And that blew me away. And so I've talked to Buzz, and Dane Fife steals the show, as he always does. Dane Fife is the best quote of all time, and he gave me some great quotes about Buzz Kerpius and Bob Knight together, so you'll want to see that story.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, he's always with us, unless he's on vacation Tuesdays in this segment. And, Greg, the program is more fun with you, so thanks for being back with us again this week, and thanks for your coverage of the Indiana All-Stars. In fact, I kind of sounded like a fool yesterday because I mentioned the stat line of Trey Kaufman and also Cooper Jacoby, and was kind of recapping their final weekend of being high school basketball players, I guess you could say, and mentioned that Trey didn't get a lot of time, especially in that second game. And as I was getting ready for the interview this morning, you had tweeted out his possible broken bone in the finger, or maybe it was confirmed to be broken, so that explains a lot. I had not seen that report anywhere else, so appreciate your coverage of everything.
I love high school sports and college sports in this state, so thanks for having me on so we can talk about it.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us Tuesdays here on the program. We'll step aside for a quick commercial break. When we come back, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We've got lots of IU basketball and recruiting to dive into. And don't forget Providence baseball, headed to this 2A state championship game Monday night, a week from yesterday. The Pioneers will take on Eastside. The Big X will be there for play-by-play from that state championship affair. Back with one more segment. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, my guest. And it's all recruiting right this moment when it comes to IU men's basketball. And Mike, the coaches for IU and for across the conference and the country very busy early into the morning as they are texting and calling and even in some cases offering scholarship offers to some of the more young prospects that have made their names known here in the spring.
Yeah, June 15th is the first day for the class of 2023 to hear from college coaches. So some coaches will ring them up at 12:01 a.m. and some of them will wait till the better hours of the day. But it is an important start to the, you know, ramping up with that junior class to be.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. I mentioned in the first segment today, Caleb Glenn at Louisville Male. He's been one of the hottest players this summer in some of the local summer league action here that he heard from Indiana last night, and a few others as well. But what reports have leaked out so far? Who has tweeted what that we know Indiana heard from or Indiana made contact with, I should say, early this morning?
Well, you know, the big guy I think we're thinking that they have to make a push for from that 23 class is Xavier Booker from Indianapolis Cathedral. And I don't think he had heard directly from Mike Woodson. So that contact and also his upcoming visit to Bloomington is, you know, one of the more intriguing storylines, I guess, from this class and this new developments of being able to reach out to him.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Also, big visitors have been on campus the last 48 hours or so for the IU program. Taylor and Filipowski, they are 2022 class guys, so guys will be seniors for the upcoming high school basketball season. They're both out-of-state guys. They're both important in the national scene as far as their class. I guess you would probably classify them as top 50 to 60 kids in the country, and those are two big guys to have on campus at the same time for this IU program, who's really just getting its feet under itself under this new staff.
Yeah, those are very intriguing to me because they're, you know, right off that five-star line, which means they may stay in college for 3 years or more. But also because the teams that Indiana's recruiting against, Filipowski and Duke, maybe the team to beat, and North Carolina strong with Justin Taylor. But those programs are now going through their own coaching change that Indiana, you know, just finished. So it'll be interesting to see how the new regimes fare off against each other when they're going after the same players.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com, obviously recruiting right now, Mike, is the name of the game, whether it's official visits to campus, whether it's making contact with some of the young prospects. And while things are still very much up in the air in the 2022 classes, Indiana, I would say you'll find out their priorities later this month as they hit the road. And obviously in July, there's going to be multiple periods for the coaches to get out. But one of the young names, Jalen Hooks, from right here in the state, he's heard but from as of last night, as of midnight, from a ton of big Division I programs and is someone that really seems to be trending up on the radar. More about his game and the challenge that Indiana may have recruiting him. He's going to garner a lot of attention, it looks like, over the next few years.
Yeah, he doesn't have an IU offer yet, but he's been on the radar for a while because he's 6'6", 6'7", but has a really long wingspan and couldn't potentially be a three with that kind of wingspan and athletic ability that he has. Hasn't yet established himself as a strong scorer in high school, but it's all about his potential. But he plays alongside Xavier Booker, or did with the George Hill team this spring, and kind of a little bit off the radar for our fans because he had a sprained ankle issue that kept him sidelined. But plays for Crispus Attucks, and they played a tough schedule this year, and he made a lot of progress. Just needs to get a little bit stronger, but kind of a three or a four, depending on how he ramps up his skills over the next year.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, joining us. We're starting with basketball and, of course, with recruiting in this segment. But, Mike, we should also note that IU yesterday confirmed a game against Northern Kentucky, one of the non-conference games set for December 22nd at Assembly Hall. Those are the kind of announcements with the schedule that we can expect to be kind of dotted in over the next few months as we start to learn more about who the Hoosiers are going to play and when in the non-conference.
Yeah, we don't learn the full schedule usually to the end of August or early September, but other schools get their schedules done earlier and things get established, and you can also kind of learn some things through Freedom of Information searches. But we've only learned a couple of the games that, you know, are not the regular series type games like you know, the Butler Notre Dame thing and Crossroads and ACC Challenge and all that. So there's a lot of games that we still have to be determined, but I don't think they're going to be super aggressive with those games because it's the first year of a new regime, and Mike Woods wants to get his feet wet before he starts playing the big heavies.
Mike, outside of recruiting, probably one of the most talked about topics and questions I get from listeners is, why does it take Indiana so long to publish its schedule, to work out the details, to be able to release things? And I know this year it could be hampered by a new staff, people switching roles, coming into new positions, and obviously Mike Woodson wants to put his stamp on things as far as the schedule goes, but build up to it. It sounded like when he met with the media last, he discussed his kind of philosophy and scheduling and maybe when he'd like to add some of the big dogs. He named Kansas and Kentucky by name in that last press conference, media availability. With that said, why is Indiana historically always one of the last teams to officially confirm and release things? Is that any certain reason for that, or is it just kind of the way things have always been and could always be here?
Well, they like to wait until the Big Ten releases its schedule. You know, the Big Ten's already said who you're playing and how many times, but not when and what time. They've often told us, yeah, we got the schedule, but we're not telling you until the Big Ten, you know, signs off and has finished all the times and their dates for the game. So. And that's traditionally come right around Labor Day or right after Labor Day.
Talking with Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Lots of recruiting coverage, by the way, at the Pigs.com website, almost on an hourly basis, updates on who Indiana's making contact with, how the official visits are going, and a lot more that you will find there as well. Mike, I was reading a story about Jacoby Spells, a out-of-state player from Florida that is getting all sorts of college attention. He's set to make his decision on July 4th. This is obviously would be a big football pickup, not basketball, but does Indiana have a legitimate shot to land this big name player that's got a lot of interest out there?
Yeah, I think they have a shot. I don't know that anything definite that they'll land him or anything, but they're riding a wave in that, and they've had such strong success in state in two bowl appearances down there. It certainly hasn't hurt. But we'll wait and see. I mean, they're competing with heavyweights, but they're on the short list, so they have a definite chance.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, with us as we wrap up this Tuesday show. Mike, as always, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
All right, talk to you then.
That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Thank you for being with us. Don't forget to check us out as a podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may listen to podcasts. Summer League basketball this afternoon beginning at 2:30 and 3:30. I'll be back with you Wednesday at 11 a.m. here on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.